Roll take, please.
Okay, let's get this show rolling.
10 seconds.
Stand by, everybody.
John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. Local, and you can hear us all over Georgia.
Big Hugh, Big John, Big Guys, Big Show.
A 3-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly 3 decades. John and Hugh, call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's going to be a big Wednesday. It's a little foggy out there, a little froggy, as my dad used to say, and do be careful on the roads. Welcome to the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, I want to short-circuit something, Hugh. Morning to you, by the way.
Good morning, John Fricke.
Start short-circuiting.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning.
It's John.
Good morning, Daryl. Good morning, AT. How are you guys doing today? Good morning.
It's hump day. 2 more days of you.
Well, you got today, so technically 3. We just started, so.
I'm already through today. We've had enough drama this morning.
You've advanced beyond the show today. No, okay, right?
It's just funny because I was, you know what's funny? I was telling a friend of mine the other day, I was like, AT's not a morning person.
No.
And I applaud him because he does a great job of tolerating me in the morning. Because I come in here, bounce it off the wall, and AT just looks at me. He's real quiet. And I said, I know AT want to tell me some morning. Man, why don't you just? But he doesn't. So I appreciate that. But I'm just happy to be here. I'm just saying. I'm just, you know, and Daryl. We all know Daryl can't stand it when I come in all chipper like this.
I got something for you this morning.
Great. It's a great day. It's a great day.
Yeah, and I was about to say, I just wanted to short-circuit something here because today is a great day, as Hugh said. It is a wonderful day. We are celebrating the fact that Atlanta got a couple of major awards yesterday, one of which was, frankly, in my opinion, a little unexpected. But what I want to short-circuit is because as I was tweeting out the awards, on both occasions I was getting responses like, I don't care about no individual awards, just win a title. Okay, I understand that. But before you complain about not, you know, titles and stuff, let's celebrate those individual awards. And yesterday was one of the best days ever for the city of Atlanta in terms of individual awards when you had not one but 2 coaches win Coach of the Year within about, I don't know, a couple of 3 hours of each other. Tata Martino being named Coach of the Year in Major League Soccer. What a way for him to go out. But Hugh Douglas, then the surprise later on in the evening when, to me at least, it was a bit of a surprise. I'm very happy surprise that Brian Snicker was named Manager of the Year in the National League.
Congratulations, man. I think that was a pleasant surprise. Nobody thought that that was going to be the case. So, I mean, congratulations to Brian Snicker, Manager Brian Snicker.
Well, and it, you could make a case. I could have made, you know me, I would have been making the case that he should have won. But I guess I figured Council would win if for no other reason than Milwaukee again had the most wins in the National League. They won the NL Central. They beat the Cubs. But Snicker did quite a remarkable job. And so that he was honored. And Brian Snicker wins Manager of the Year. Now, on the show today, we're going to have quite a show for you. Obviously, it's Wednesday. That means Dan Quinn's going to join us live. We'll talk with the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons at 7:45 this morning, get the inside skinny on the Dallas Cowboys, on the state of the team, on the return of Deion Jones, when that might actually happen. He's on the 53-man roster. When will he be active for a game? Will that be this week? Will it be Thursday against New Orleans? All of those questions, Matt Bryant's health, and everything else you can imagine with the Atlanta Falcons. That'll be at 7:45. Then, today at 8:40, if you happen to be back in your car, you're driving around, because I know a lot of people will listen to the program. They'll listen to most of the program, Hugh. At 8:40 this morning, we'll have Brian Snicker live talking about being Manager of the Year. That'll be a lot of fun.
That's going to be fun. I have a lot of questions, because I'm, like, to be honest, John, for Brian Snicker, a lot has happened in a short period of time.
No kidding.
And he really hasn't... I wonder how he's feeling because he really has. I don't think he's had enough time to digest everything from being caught up, being a manager, you know, being an interim coach, being an interim manager for a while to becoming the manager, to getting a new contract and to being the manager of the year. That's like a lot. That's a lot in a short period of time. I mean, you're kind of like, yeah, you're the man right now.
Right. You went from Alex Anthopoulos is taking over as general manager for John Coppolella and all the issues that the organization
all
is
of that.
Having.
All of that.
And all the rumors because – and it's natural to assume.
Uncertainty. A lot of uncertainty.
Right. And it's natural to assume when you get a new general manager that the
you're going to get fired.
That you're going to get his people in there, right?
Yeah. I mean that's how it usually is. I call that, John, I call that the Lion King effect. You know, because when the lion takes over pride in the jungle, it always, you know, dispatches all the cubs, the lion cubs. And the lionesses, they go into heat and they have more babies. I'm not making this up. This is kind of like in the same vein of that.
The things that you have knowledge upon is really starting to like.
No, I'm just saying. I just know this because it's like the lion. It's the whole Lion Club thing. You know, when the new lion takes over the pride, he kind of you know, he wants to have his own people. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of the same thing. Mm-hmm. I ain't thinking about y'all.
Everything
this
you need to know about lions, just ask you this morning.
Hey.
Last time I checked.
In video games.
Wow.
Right now. You want to ask him right now.
No, I was just listening. I mean, I got a cat expert here. I may need that.
Hey, yeah. How are Elsie and Archie doing?
I may need that going forward.
See, this is why he needs a cat.
Cat was not. I'm allergic to cat, huh?
But you're right. I mean, so Alex Anthopoulos comes in, takes over, and Brian Snicker, we sat here less than a year ago, probably about 9 months ago, going, oh, I wonder if Brian Snicker is going to make it through the year. Not only does he make it through the year, gets a new contract, takes the team to the division title, and he's now NL Manager of the Year and much deserved. And by the way, the awards are rolling in for those two franchises, and we can only hope that we get even more in terms of Joseph Martinez as MVP. Come on, if Wayne Rooney beats him out for MVP or Zlatan Ibrahimovic, come on, stop. You know what I'm saying? We'll see what they vote and how they vote. But Joseph, you would think Joseph would be MVP of MLS. But we'll see how they vote. And we've had, the Silver Slugger for Markakis, Gold Gloves for Markakis and Freeman and Inciarte, Rookie of the Year for Ronald Acuna.
About awards.
Man.
But I will say this, John, with all the awards – with all those awards comes a lot more pressure because when you have that many guys on your squad that are receiving those accolades, I mean, as a fan, you're expecting big things.
Yeah, like titles.
Yeah, bottom line.
Right.
Bottom line. Mm-hmm. So let's celebrate this. But, you know, it's added pressure on the Braves. And they went from a team that last year nobody really knew what they were going to get with the Braves mm-hmm. because one of the biggest issues was hitting. And where were you going to get the power from in that lineup to now what are you going to do to improve the team and what are you going to do to take that next step? Right. That's what you've – I mean, in a short period of time. So Alex Anthopoulos has his work cut out for him. I know he's alluded to that. And now the next step is what are you going to do as far as, you know, you have a blueprint that you've discussed with us. You know, you want to try to keep it young. And you want to try to get guys in here that are going to fit the mold of the players that you currently have on the roster and basically build from there. So expectations are going to be through the roof this year. I mean, I really think so. I think a lot of people are thinking that, you know, you're looking at the Atlanta Braves, and if they make some big moves in the free agency, they're going to be looked at as one of the teams that are going to be a serious contender this year.
And one of those moves is not Bryce Harper. I mean, I would be almost disappointed if they did Bryce Harper. I'm sure that I would be on the radio saying, oh, my God, the Braves got Bryce Harper. Can you believe this? What does this mean for the franchise? Where are you going to put him in the lineup? And we'd have this big discussion. But, boy, you would hamstring this franchise with Bryce Harper. Because even if Alex Anthopoulos, who said he needs a corner outfielder, and, again, read into that what you mean, you know, does that mean Inciarte is out and they're going to move Acuna to center? Does it mean Markakis is out and they're going to move Acuna to right? He said they need a corner outfielder. This team needs to have more than just a corner outfielder. It needs to have a corner outfielder, and we'll go with that Anthopoulos. It also needs at least one veteran starting pitcher.
I was thinking that. And you need to figure out what you're going to do with Julio Teheran.
Right. Yep. So this
I mean, that's something because, you know, you went through – you kind of in the playoffs, you kind of piecemealed the pitching a little bit. I think it's safe to say that you piecemealed that a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, you need to figure out what you're going to do with Julio Teheran.
Right, so a lot of decisions. The Hot Stove League is going to be very interesting, not just for the Braves, but for all of baseball. Like, for example, where does Bryce Harper end up? Could Manny Machado be a Yankee? Does that mean Giancarlo Stanton is, like, one and done in New York, and he's off to somewhere else? And so it will be really interesting to see what teams do now in terms of how they handle this offseason in Major League Baseball. And as it relates, not that it matters at all, because it really doesn't. I think last year proved that. Who the favorite is in the NL East. I mean, everybody had the Washington Nationals winning the East by a mile. And you saw what happened. They finished third. Well, no, I take that back. They may have finished second, actually. They may have finished ahead of the Phillies. I'd have to go back and look. Wasn't paying a whole lot of attention to what was happening behind the Braves, but I think the Phillies' collapse may have put Washington second. And it may well be that Washington's picked over the Braves again this year, depending on what happens in the Hot Stove League. But again, I don't really care what the predictions are. I just want to see the final results. And the Braves are going to be one of the teams, potentially favored to make it back to the playoffs this year, either as the division champion or as a wild card team in the National League. So, yes, the expectation level is up. For Atlanta United, Hugh, the expectation level is nothing less for Tata Martino to go out, not only as a manager of the year. Talk about a tough act to follow if you're the next manager, next coach of Atlanta United. The guy you just replaced is, the guy that built Atlanta United into an instant power. He's just been named the MLS Coach of the Year, and who knows if he doesn't have a title trophy, that he's raising too.
Yeah, if he gets that, then it's going to definitely be a tough act to follow. But I think that the blueprint is already there. As far as the players, I mean, you have a lot of young players that are coming up. You got some players that are potentially might be leaving, but you have a good stable bullpen, if you will, of guys that are going to be here. So it's something that you can definitely sustain. No question about that.
You know, one of the things I want Atlanta fans to understand, and I think it's pretty clear, and even though I know people gripe about it, because to me, I think it's pretty clear, and I'll just speak for myself. One thing you have to understand, I think, is that we are very fortunate not just to have all these new venues in town, and we have premium venues and all whatnot, but when it comes to the four major franchises, we are blessed in Atlanta with what I think are A-plus level general managers on each of the four teams. Thomas Dimitrioff, Travis Schlenk, Alex Anthopoulos, and, of course, Carlos Bocanegra. All four of those are A-plus level general managers. And as a result, that puts all four franchises on really good footing, despite the fact that last night the Hawks lost again on the road to Golden State 110-103. And we'll talk a little bit about how the Hawks fared last night against the Warriors and what it means. But, again, I think all four franchises are in really good shape. I dare say that they're in better shape, Hugh, from an ownership and management position at the same time, all four combined, than I have ever seen in the near 50 years I've been doing this.
That's good, John, but you know what that means. I want to hear about the labor pains. Show me the baby. And the baby being a championship. Show me the baby.
If you're going to the game on Sunday across from the Gold Deck, Wade Ford tailgate show starts at 9 a.m. The guys are going to be discussing the game against the Cowboys. Again, the Wade Ford tailgate show, always a fun time, 9 a.m. across from the Gold Deck, across Northside Drive there from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. When we get back in a moment, what of the Hawks? They fall last night to Golden State. What does that mean? Where do they stand? And what are we looking at? The game from the Kia Studios with John and Hugh. Hopefully you're having a safe drive in today. We have very, very packed show for you on this Wednesday. It is Flowery Branch Wednesday. It's the day the Falcons get back to work against the Dallas Cowboys. Dan Quinn will join us live at 7:45 this morning. And then at 8:40, the newly minted NL Manager of the Year, Brian Snitker, will join us live. And that'll be a lot of fun to have Snit on the show and talk to him about the Braves in the offseason and his new award. College basketball last night, Hugh. I just want to bring people up to speed, just kind of keeping our eye on it. Georgia State beat Mercer last night. 62-60, UGA loses under Tom Crean for the first time, falling to Temple 81-77. Tennessee beats Georgia Tech and Josh Pastner 66-53. One thing about this loss to Tennessee, and you go, oh, Tech fans are going to, we lost to Tennessee by 13. Keep this in mind. I'm not sure who the best team in the SEC is in men's basketball this year. Tennessee may be the best team in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
Auburn may be the best team in the SEC. And in either case, both Tennessee and Auburn are at this point probably as good or better than Kentucky. The SEC, for the first time in a long time, has three legitimate top 10, if not top 6 teams in the entire nation. You have great teams in the SEC. And Tennessee and Auburn are both, I mean, Tennessee, Auburn, and Kentucky are legitimate, all legitimate Final Four contenders. That's how good they are. And veteran teams. So, I mean, you'd like to win the game, but you lose to Tennessee, that's no shame, especially with a young team. Also, late last night in Oakland, the Hawks fell to Golden State 110-103. Now, you can look at this a couple of different ways. One is you got to try and take your shots at the Warriors when Steph Curry's not playing and Huey's not playing right now. But it is still Kevin Durant. It is and the other thing about it, Golden State, man, that flap that Golden State's got going on between Draymond and Durant.
It's you know what, John? It was one of those things. It's one of those things where they tried to squash it, I guess. But I think there were some words in the locker room. I don't know, because the reports are they're trying to keep it in house as much as they possibly can. I mean, and you got to commend them for that, because they're trying. They got bigger fish to fry. But from my perspective, and what I think is about to happen is, it seems like for whatever reason, Draymond's a little bit of a malcontent, like right now. And the more you're chirping, you might make yourself expendable. That's how I kind of read it. I don't know what happened. I know that Kevin Durant has gone out of his way in the media to try to make sure, like, keep it short, because at the post game, his comments about it were real short. He was trying to say that I haven't had a chance to talk to Draymond and squash this. Hopefully they will in the next couple of days. But they're trying to keep it in house. But it seems like it's one of those things where you don't want it to fester. That's the bottom line. You do not want it to fester, but it feels like it's a lot more than a lot of people letting on.
Yeah, well, it began with the game where they lost the other night to the Clippers, and there was a play at the end of the game where Draymond tried to be the hero and kind of dribbled it away, and there was some words exchanged between Draymond and Durant on the bench between the end of regulation and overtime in a game the Warriors would eventually lose, and there was big headlines, you know, Draymond and Durant going at each other, and I looked at the little, you know, kind of back and forth that they had the video of, and I thought, and I even said it on the show yesterday, I went, this is much to do about nothing. I mean, guys chirped at each other for 5 seconds, big deal.
I thought it was the same thing.
And then we have reports coming out that this went on after the game, and this was a much bigger deal, apparently, between these two, and whatever they've got going on between them. You're right. I mean, if Draymond thinks that he's going to win this battle, if he gets to a me or him situation, it ain't gonna be you.
Yeah, I think what you're doing is when you do things like that. I mean, Draymond's a good player. Not taking anything away from him, but he ain't better than Kevin Durant.
No,
he ain't better than Kevin Durant. And they just gave Kevin Durant a bunch of money. Mm-hmm. And when you talk about the big three, Clay, Steph, and the Slim Reaper. You know, Kevin Durant. That's it.
Yeah, like, you're not one of them.
Yeah, you can move on. Like, they'll be if they moved on from Draymond Green, I would think that they would be okay. AT, am I far off on that one? would Golden State be okay if they moved on from Draymond Green?
Yeah, they would, and everything you guys have pretty much said is correct, because eventually somebody's contract has got to go, and you can't keep paying all of these guys. Klay Thompson is a free agent at the end of the season. Draymond Green, if not this season, next season he will be up. And Kevin Durant has an option to opt out at the end of this season.
And Boogie Cousins.
And well, you got to decide what you're going to do with Boogie. I've always thought that Jordan Bell, the player they drafted from Oregon, could be a potential replacement for Draymond Green. He's not the same caliber player. Don't get it wrong. He's not the same caliber player. Draymond Green is a defensive player of the year, 2-time All-Star, and is a proven winner. But at some point in time, you can't pay everybody $100 million to play on your roster, because then it leaves you with nothing on your bench. And so these two are going to have to sort it out. It's funny, because Draymond Green was the one who helped convince Kevin Durant to come to Golden State. And you've got a lot of strong personalities on that team. And Draymond is probably the strongest of the bunch. But if it carried to the locker room, which it appears it did based on reports from a couple of ESPN writers, Draymond was clearly in the wrong. Because that was his first game back, if mm-hmm. you remember.
Right.
Because he was injured.
And the Hawks nonetheless fall to the Steph Curry-less Warriors 110-103. They had some chances late in the game. Just couldn't quite get it done. We've seen this, you know, stop me if we've seen this, you know, movie before. But they fall by 7. Torian Prince had a big night. He had 22, Hugh, but Trae Young really struggled. 4 points, 2 of 12.
Yeah, he did, man. And so much so that in the second half, Jeremy Lin played quite a bit. So, yeah, it was one of those tough nights for the young player. But like Travis Link said, it's going to be nights like that for the young guy. He just has to learn, and it's one of those things. Another guy that had a pretty decent night was Vince Carter.
Mm-hmm.
Vince Carter had a pretty decent night. But it was funny, because I'm watching the game, and, like, you could just tell, like, Yeah, Vince a little bit, you know, Vince looked a little older. Like you could just tell. He was a little bit older. He looked, you know. He played well though. He played well. I think he had like 11 points or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he played well. He played well. But you could just tell, like, he was the OG on the court last night. He was definitely the OG on the court last night.
And this is where the Hawks are 3-11. They've lost 5 in a row. I mean, we know what this season is, and we said this season before the season began, look, you want to be Hawks cool before the Hawks are cool, and they're going to be cool at some point in the next couple or three seasons. They're going to be very cool.
I'm very patient. I mean, I don't know how anybody else watches, but I'm very patient with this Hawks team when I watch.
Me too.
I watch, John, and I get excited when they keep the games close, with especially the games that you think that they don't have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And they do that. They do that. They're starting to try to get the turnover thing down. Only thing I had a complaint about last night, and it's a little thing, and I know, like, as soon as like it comes out, people are going to say I'm petty. And like, what's wrong with you? I think Kent Bazemore needs to get some bigger shorts. That's about it. That's the only complaint that I – like, he needs some bigger shorts, man.
Because that's the complaint.
No, like, listen, he needs some bigger shorts. Because it's like you're watching
it. Of all the places you went, I wasn't really thinking it was going to be shorts.
18. Because, like, I'm watching the game, and I'm thinking to myself, dude needs some bigger shorts. Like, seriously.
Well, he's got the throwback, like, Larry
well,
Bird
shorty. Well, it's almost
shorty.
Like he has his jersey tucked in,
uh-huh.
And it's almost like his shorts, even when he's warm-up pants. It's like he got them pulled up to – and Kent's my man. I like Kent Bazemore a lot. But I was just like, Kent need to get some bigger shorts, man. Like, he needs some bigger shorts. And I'm watching the game with somebody right there. Like, why are you focused on that? I'm not. It's just that he's running up and down the court, and he had like they got to be below the knee. That's what I'm thinking. Your shorts need to be below the knee, and his shorts are like up high, and his tights are lower than his shorts. And I'm thinking, man, you gotta work on that look.
I mean, I'm glad you noticed. I'll start looking for it.
I just didn't pay attention. He wears the shorts.
I'm seeing them. Yeah,
The shorts just look too. They look too small. They just look small.
I think we should go back to the tidy whiteys. You know, the really short shorts.
I don't know about that.
No.
Yeah.
But then I'm looking at everybody
you
else.
You can wear them.
Then I'm looking at everybody else play, and I'm thinking to myself, Ken, you can get some bigger shorts, dog. You can get some. They have some bigger shorts that you can wear. You guys get some bigger shorts, man. Somebody need to tell Kenny to get some bigger shorts.
Oh, I think you just did.
No, I don't think he's telling that West Coast trip. He ain't heard it. Somebody reach out to him.
Clip this off. It's called
tell
the internet.
Tweet it to him.
Ken, you need to get some. Go ahead,
use it in the promo.
You need to get some bigger shorts, dog. You're my dog, though, but you need some bigger
like
shorts.
Max Strauss and all these Hawks folks—they do listen to us, you know. They could tell Ken, hey, did you hear what Hugh said?
He needs the biggest shorts.
Hawks will play at Denver tomorrow to continue this road trip. Next up. Wendy's Own, some of the things we missed on what's going to be a very busy Wednesday. Dan Quinn, 7:45. Brian Snicker at 8:40, both live with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, everybody stand up!
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy's Own on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, just to let you guys know, today is National Pickle Day, so go out there and enjoy whatever types of pickles that you like. Dill. Fried.
You don't like pickles?
I don't eat pickles.
I love pickles.
Oh, no.
Not even fried pickles?
I like certain kinds of pickles. I do not like bread and butter. I do not like sweet pickles, but dill pickles? Oh, yeah. I'm good with dill.
They're so good. So I tweeted out my food of the day since it is National Pickle Day. I did the dilly dog from the Texas Rangers. You guys remember this. It's that dill pickle poured out and stuffed with that hot dog dipped and battered. And then deep fried.
It just sounds like heartburn waiting to happen.
It just looks so good. It's a food I want to try.
It's like a corn dog deconstructed and reconstructed.
It looks amazing, and I would love to try it. Well, the Rams are doing something special for Monday Night Football. You guys know how I was telling you yesterday that the field in Mexico City where they're going to play the Chiefs-Rams game on Monday night, and the field conditions were so poor at Estadio Azteca, the NFL has decided to move that game to Los Angeles. So now the Rams have an additional home game and opted to do something pretty awesome with the ton of tickets they now have on their hands. The Rams going to be providing thousands of complimentary tickets to Monday night's game at the Coliseum to first responders and those affected by the communities of the recent tragedies. It's been a pretty difficult week in the Los Angeles area, you had the mass shooting at Thousand Oaks that left 12 people dead, and they have the massive wildfires going on in both North and Southern California. So the LA Rams providing complimentary tickets to those first responders to Monday night's football game. Which is
I wonder if it's going to be like it was for the San Fran game against the Giants. It was a little foggy out there. It's a little smoky. So I'm assuming it's probably going to be the same way for that KC Rams, Rams game.
Just thinking about that when she was talking about the tickets going out to first responders. I certainly hope they can use them.
Because they might have to work.
Yeah, and they may still be working.
That was the first thing I thought of yesterday. It's a great idea.
It's a great idea.
And I was like, I'd only hope that they're able to go and that these fires have calmed down and everything else.
And I think maybe later in the year, I hope the Rams might consider, you know, bringing them back, you know, and doing this again in a way. It'd be wonderful. You know, you can have them all out on the field before the game and salute them and for what they've done. But, yeah, I just can't believe
it's just crazy what's going
on out
there.
Yeah, the tally of the fires, Hugh and Wendy and the guys, is just insane. We don't know how many people have died in Northern and Southern California. And to see the pictures that have come out, did you guys by any chance see the pictures from Paradise, California? The town.
I saw some satellite views.
It was a bomb went off.
Yeah, I mean, homes are completely demolished. They were showing a bunch of the celebrity homes, too, that were destroyed, and it's just insane.
Yeah, they're driving down the streets, you know, those guys that do that, you know, where they drive down the streets with their, you know,
cameras.
The cameras and stuff. And, I mean, whole neighborhoods just
torched. I've seen some of those pictures, and it's surreal.
Well, it's you often think back during hurricanes when you see the weathermen and all these reporters running to these cities to try to deal with those storms. There is no way on earth that I would attempt to drive through a fire like that. I would probably die.
Some of the video of the people driving through the fires, it looks like it's a Hollywood movie, and there's just, you know, I said to my wife last night looking at one of them, I said, I don't know that I could do it. She goes, what choice would you have? I went, I guess that's a good point.
You
sit there and die.
One. Yeah. And some people weren't given very much warning to evacuate because the fire was just spreading so quickly that people were forced to drive through those fires. And the videos are pretty
And you know the messed up thing about it. I mean, you know, you're talking about people's homes and everything. It's not so much the home. Mm-hmm. It's the memorabilia. It's like the memories.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the thing that people are trying to save. I mean, and I get that. I mean, you know, pictures, family heirlooms and things of that nature.
Because
you don't have time. Like, when it's something like that, you don't have time to grab the stuff that you deem essential.
Right.
You just don't. And that's the unfortunate thing about it. A lot of people have lost a lot of memories with a situation like this, a lot of memories.
Yeah, and it did spark a conversation in my house because we said, you know, if our house, if we ever had to face the prospect of fire and you could only grab one or two things, you know, what are we grabbing?
Pictures.
You know? Well, the good thing is that nowadays all of our pictures are in the cloud.
Yeah,
I mean, you know,
that's childhood photos. I mean,
but some pictures, man, like some things are a little bit dearer, like because you can actually see them. Like you can like they call it digital pictures or whatever. You can download them or whatever, but it's something different when you actually have those.
Yeah, those tangible pictures of when you're little and they were printed off. You know.
Yeah, the question is, you know, what do you grab? You know, I mean, that's just something that, you know, it made me think anyway.
Definitely a scary thing, but good on the Rams for doing that. Well, UCF is once again enjoying an undefeated football season. Rankings, however, indicating that they won't make the college football playoff, even if that trend continues. That means the Knights won't have an opportunity to face, you know, an Alabama. So Las Vegas oddsmakers believe in, you know, that's pretty good news, and have put on a potential matchup and betting lines if they were to play. So Christopher Smith of AL.com pointed out that gambling website BetOnline.ag releasing odds recently for a potential matchup between UCF and Alabama. What do you guys think the spread is, the point spread is for Alabama UCF if they were to go head to head betting line?
24.5.
24.5. AT, Daryl, you guys want to play the guessing game on the point spread for Alabama and UCF in a matchup?
30 points.
And then I'll take 35.
Well, AT and Daryl would be the closest because they are listed as a whopping 31-point favorite if both teams were to go head-to-head. Do you think UCF would even cover that 31-point spread?
Well, here's the thing. My answer is I don't know. You know, at this point, nobody scored on Alabama, it's hard to say. Of course, LSU and Mississippi State don't have the offense that UCF has, but, you know, it's I have no idea. I mean, that's probably, I'm guessing, the degenerate gamblers know this. That screams backdoor cover. That's what that screams. and they'll understand what that means.
Well, former Pittsburgh Steelers safety Ryan Clark dealt with plenty of bumps and bruises when he was in the NFL, as one would expect in an NFL career, but probably never expected to end up injured in his new line of work because he was on the set for ESPN, and he suffered an injury on Monday that required stitches. An initial report from Adam Schefter indicated that Clark needed 2 or 3 stitches, but actually needed 5 stitches after walking into a camera on the set of ESPN when he was doing some of his analyst work. So just a very sort of bizarre
injury. You ever walk into a camera at ESPN, Hugh?
No, neither did I. Requiring
5 stitches.
I worked in television for a long time. Never walked into a camera.
Well, part of the problem is they now have these handheld cameras where the guys are kind of moving and they're not stationary. Yeah. And so I've seen Ryan on this NFL Live show a few times, and he's jumping from place to place.
Oh, I got you.
So I wouldn't be surprised if that's how it happened.
And so it's probably somebody was a little bit too close. Probably a little bit too close.
Okay, I got you. You're not sitting on a set with a camera out front of him behind him, right? Okay, I got you. All right, that makes sense.
No, he just didn't like.
I just heard that. You got hit by a camera, really? I think of a lot of things that could happen. A light could fall off a thing and hit you in the head, or, you know.
Just sort of a bizarre injury. Well, do you guys remember the gruesome injury Monday night? Brooklyn Nets guard Caris LeVert. It's pretty bad. If you haven't seen the injury, I would not recommend going and watch it.
Ooh, but I want to see.
There's a pretty interesting coincidence. Because Derrick Rose was on the court to witness that injury of LeVert. And the bizarre part is people around the internet, both on Twitter and Reddit, figured out that Rose has been on the court to witness what happened to LeVert, obviously on Monday night, but also to Gordon Hayward's horrifying leg injury and Paul George's leg break in 2014. So you do not want to be on the court with Derrick Rose if you are playing a basketball game, because he has been involved in now.
Not to mention his own, what, twice?
Leg injuries. Correct. So the internet sort of tweeting out.
Don't do that to Derrick Rose, because he just got his mind together. Don't do that.
It's just sort of a strange coincidence.
At least twice. But here's the good news out of the Caris LeVert situation. It was first feared that he would miss the entire season. Mm-hmm. It looks like he will not. He will be able to rehabilitate and will be back before the year is over with.
That is good news.
Yeah.
Will the Falcons be able to rehabilitate and get back into the playoff hunt? That's a big question this morning. Dan Quinn live at 7:45. We'll begin the countdown to the Falcons and Cowboys next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.